May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 920, 920. When to worship saints assemble, let the song to Jesus flow. He forsook his ancient glory, groaned and bled for worms below. Ransomed mortals join to swell the sacred song. Hymn number 920.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy, chapter 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, "The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah." And he said, "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies." And of Levi he said, "Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, 'I have not seen him,' neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again." And of Benjamin he said, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders." And of Joseph he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Amen. The Lord bless his holy word to us, and help his servant to pray.
O thou most holy and eternal Lord God, in thy goodness and mercy thou hast spared us to gather here once more. And yet we solemnly realise, dear Lord, it is one less. And how eternity is before us each. And how we need thee to make us right and to keep us right, to give us that real religion that is more than notion. May we be found among them that are born of God, and that we might truly, even this day, worship thee. We pray for the divine influence of thy Holy Spirit, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. We pray for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and to be sweetly felt, Lord, both in our hearts and too within these walls, and that we may prove what the dear poet said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And O Lord, we pray that we may each come desiring to see no man save Jesus only. Oh, we would seek for grace to humble ourselves at thy dear feet. Do grant us, Lord, that real repenting heart, a heart to truly confess our many, many sins, a heart to mourn over them and grieve over them before thee. A heart to plead for mercy and plead to be washed in thy precious blood. And oh, that we may have the application of thy precious word in our souls, and the application, Lord, of thy precious blood, that blood that doth for sin atone, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. And oh, may it please thee, Lord, that each sin-sick soul this day may have the sweet assurance that thou didst suffer, bleed and die for them, that it is well with our souls, Lord, while life endure, and well when called to die. And O Lord, may we be given that faith to look wholly to thee, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hope to stay. That faith, Lord, to trust in thee at all times. That faith to believe even to the saving of our souls. And oh, do take away from us all the unbelief, the many doubts, the many fears that arise within us. And may we ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And oh, we seek for more and more grace to be given to us, Lord. Oh, we know so much of the aboundings of sin, but oh, may grace abound over it all, and may grace reign within us. No, may we be humbled in the dust and ever be as nothing, and a precious Jesus, the one thing that is needful, and the all and in all. Do bless thy waiting people, Lord. Thou knowest what each one needs before they or we ask her, or speak a word, for thou art the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And oh, we pray to be given that real spirit of prayer continually, that we may truly wrestle with thee and give thee no rest until thou dost bless us. Remember those that are cast down, Lord. We pray that thou wilt come even this day and lift them up if it would please thee. And those, Lord, that are burdened, we pray for that help to cast all those burdens upon thee. And may we have the sweet assurance, and may each of thy dear people, that thou carest for them. who dry up the tears of those that are weeping. For thou hast promised, dear Lord, and we pray for the sweet fulfilment of it in the hearts and experiences of thy people. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We pray thou would hasten the hour when thou wilt set thy people at liberty. Thou wilt bring them into a wealthy place, Lord, that their souls may praise and bless thy holy name. They may be enabled to take up their cross and follow thee. Oh, do remove all that hinders thy people. Thou knowest the many hindrances, Lord, there are. But, oh, may we each be brought, Lord, where thou didst bring Abraham's servant to say, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. And, Lord, do bless the dear children and the little ones, remember them each, Lord, and keep them and preserve them in these solemn days. May the prayers of dear parents be heard and answered for their offspring. And may they be raised up from among the young, a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Remember the dear young people, Lord, and keep them in these evil days. Draw their hearts to thyself and to thy word and thy house, thy people. Draw them away from all that would attract the carnal mind and of the flesh. And may they desire a better country. That is in heaven. And bless those things that are taught in the Sabbath school, Lord, thy holy word. And may it enter into the hearts of the young and abide there and be manifested in days to come. We pray for those sweet encouragements to the dear teachers. They may sweetly prove they labour not in vain, nor spend their strength for naught. And, O Lord, remember those in middle age with the many concerns and burdens and trials they have to wade through. May they know much of thy help in hand, and that strength equal to each day. We pray for those in affliction's pathway, Lord. Many are laid aside throughout Zion, and we would commit them each to thee. We pray for that needed healing and restoring, if it's thy holy will, and that thou wilt sanctify these afflictions, Lord, that the souls of thy people may be abundantly blessed in the affliction, that they may be able to tell the king's household what great things thou hast done for them, that thy name may be honoured and glorified. And do prepare us each, dear Lord, for a vast eternity. We know not what a day or an hour will bring forth. And thou hast said, be ye also ready. May we ever be on our watchtowers, watching and praying, and be prepared to stand before thy face. For thy spirit must thee work perform, for it is all of grace. And, O Lord, do bring back prodigals that have forsaken thy cause. May there be yet a blessed returning of many in these dark days. We thank thee there are those few evidences thou art bringing them back. We pray that it may yet prove to be the sound of abundance of rain. And any that as yet know thee not, dear Lord, do bring them to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. And we would pray, dear Lord, thou wilt quicken many even in this village, that there may be an awakening of many sinners round to come and fill the place. Remember our dear aged friends, who sweetly assure them, Lord, that it is well with them, and prepare us each for that day, Lord. We know the hour of death must come. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt grant those heavenly assurances that it is well while life endures, well when called to die. And Lord, do take away all the fears of thy fearful people, and may they sweetly prove, as we have read, dear Lord, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Do remember the deacons here, Lord. We thank thee for bringing our dear brother safely through thus far and granting him that measure of healing and strengthening, Lord. And we do pray that thou wilt go on to be gracious to him, grant that full healing and restoring. And do bless his brother deacon too, and help them, Lord, in all the burdens they bear. Bless the hymns they give out. And Lord, do add to the church precious souls yet, if it would please thee. We thank thee for all thou hast done, and we would be truly thankful for present, and yet ask for more. Remember each of thy dear servants, Lord, as they go forth this day, and thy servant with our own flock. Grant him that sweet liberty, and each of thy servants, Lord, the anointing from heaven. And oh, may thy word have free course and be glorified. And Lord, do remember this nation in all its wickedness and sin. Oh, do turn us, Lord, from our king downwards, from looking to man and from leaning upon false foundations, to look to thee and to lean hard upon thee. And we pray that thou would open the blind eyes of our leaders and rulers, and bring them to seek thy face and to serve thee. And may thy fear be put in many throughout this land, Lord, and that there may be yet again a real turning to the Lord, a forsaking of all evil. And do remember, Lord, thy war-torn lands abroad, Lord, in the Middle East, and we pray that it may not spread into further conflict and war, Lord. Do put down all the enemies of the truth. Preserve Israel, we pray. And do remember those in Ukraine, the continual onslaughts of the enemy, Lord. We pray there may be overturning of all the powers of evil, and a real turning to thee. Do sanctify all these things, Lord. There may be many blessed in the paths they have to walk, that they may glorify thy precious name. And, O Lord, do give us a truly thankful heart for all thy many, many mercies to us in providence and in grace, and all thou hast done for us and in us. And we would praise thy precious holy name to anoint us to speak a few things in thy name this morning and throughout the day. May we be this day the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And may our precious Jesus be exalted, sinners laid in the dust. We would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim, to give us that strength for this hour, that help, Lord. For we have to prove continually, without thee, we can do nothing. Do pardon and forgive what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail. We would ask these poor breathings in the precious name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1074. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee? The fullness of thy promise prove the seal of thy eternal love. Hymn 1074.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, and the 7th verse. Deuteronomy, chapter 33, and verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies." The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, and verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies." The tribe of Judah and of Joseph were to be a special favoured tribe, particularly the tribe of Judah. If you go back in the Holy Word of God to Genesis, where we find that beautiful word recorded that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And it was that blessed Shiloh, none other than the dear Lord Jesus, that should come through the tribe of Judah. And we think of when the wise men went to Herod. And what did he say to them? And he looked into the holy word of God. And they said unto him, as he inquired of the scribes and priests, and they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And so this blessed theme runs right through the holy word of God. And then in the book of the Revelation, we read there concerning the dear Lord Jesus and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And as you see there, a lion is the strongest of beasts, and it beautifully illustrates the strength of the dear Lord Jesus, the strength of the Lord in appearing for his dear people. Well, this word seemed to so rest upon me, and I trust it is of the Lord to bring before you. And he says here, and this is the blessing of Judah. And in this verse, there are some beautiful things really set forth, and may the Lord help us just to briefly bring them before you. And he said, "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah." And we want to look at that as helped in a few ways. First of all, how the Lord wonderfully hears the prayers of his dear people. And I don't mean just those that are audible prayers, the silent prayers of the heart, the groanings that go on within the child of God's breast, and the Lord has promised to hear them. So he says, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Are there those of you this morning that are longing for the Lord to hear and to answer your prayers? The hymn writer said, pray if thou canst, or canst not speak. He's promised to hear the sighing of the needy and the groaning of the prisoners. You think how many times dear old Jacob, father Israel, cried unto the God of heaven, and the Lord heard him and answered him, didn't he? Sent down those answers of peace. You think of the cry that went out of dear Hezekiah. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And there may be those this morning that are begging for the Lord to undertake for you. It may be in providence. It may be in your soul. It may be in your family. Maybe in the business. Undertake for it. It's a beautiful prayer, you know, that is. If I may just drop this. Before I went into hospital, that prayer carried me, really. All I could pray was this. Undertake for me. And that's a beautiful prayer, really. And you look how the Lord undertook for dear Hezekiah. Delivered him in his soul from all his sin. Delivered him from the sentence of death that he was under because of the affliction. And to wonderfully delivered him from the Assyrians and all the they sought to do to destroy Hezekiah and Jerusalem. It's not very long, this word, is it? Hear, Lord. And you often find that throughout the Word of God, the prayers that were uttered were short. We know there are those longer prayers, such as the prayer of Jabez, but you know, so often, like Peter, Lord, save us, else we perish. Or the dear dying thief, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. Dear Nehemiah had to plead the Lord would remember him and remember those that sought to rebuild the walls in his day. And it may be in a small matter. The Lord and you, dear children, go to him who alone can hear you, the Lord himself. Take it to the God in heaven. The hymn writer said, didn't he, take everything to God in prayer. It's like the dear lady, I think it was in William Gadsby's time, I may have mentioned it before, but you know, she had a lot of problems with her children, and these problems and these troubles weighed her right down, and she was almost, as it were, in despair. And there were many at the chapel said, well, my dear, you want to pray for them. She said, yes, I do try and pray, but what I want is to get the Lord's ear in the matter. And it may be like that with you. You want the Lord's ear. He kindly listens while they tell, the hymn writer says. It's a wonderful thing to feel the Lord is hearing our cry, hearing our groans. Hearing our sighs. And to feel that he's hearing and will in his time answer. Faith will be given to believe he will answer. You see, true prayer indicted by the Lord will surely hear. He not only hears, but he gives that desire to cry unto him. He may use various means. He did with the tribe of Judah throughout God's holy word, where he brings them into troubles and trials, afflictions, difficulties, impossibilities. And those things he uses as the means to bring the sinner to cry. Give me Christ, or else I die. So he says here, and this was part of the blessing, you see, and what a blessing it would be for you and for me today, wouldn't it? If the Lord, you felt the Lord was hearing and that he will answer. And you go home looking for the answer. An answer from the King of Kings. So he says, this is the blessing of Judah. And the first part of it is this. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. The voice of Judah. His dear people. Those the dear Saviour came to suffer, to bleed, to die for, hear their prayers. Hear their cries. Hear their groanings. And there's many, of course, of the throughout the Gospels of the dear woman that came, Lord, help me. How many times have you had to pray that? May even be this morning. It'll be your prayer. I think with the old godly lady many years ago, she said, you know, I wake up with it. I have to go through the day pleading that. Lord, help me. She said, it's my prayer and I go to sleep at night. And you know, that's a wonderful thing when the Lord indicts such prayer in us. And you look at that dear woman in the gospel, the Lord wonderfully appeared for her, didn't he? Delivered her and her daughter. But oh, to have a grain of faith to believe he will hear. And he will answer. And as the Lord gives you that grain of faith, that may be a very small grain, but it will believe. The Lord will grant it. But secondly, regarding this hearing, Lord, the voice of Judah, he not only hears the cries of his dear people, as I've briefly tried to illustrate, but too, he gives them the heart to praise him when he has heard and answered their prayers. And it's something really, and I speak this lovingly and reverently, we're very short in doing, really, if we're honest. We ask for the Lord for this or for that or something else, and when he grants it, we forget the praise. But oh, the Lord does hear the praises that go out of his dear people's hearts. Oh, he does. You look in those cases that I've named in the Word of God. Think of Jacob, how many times dear father Israel had to praise his God that he'd heard him, that he'd answered him, he'd given him the blessing, whether it was in his soul or in the troubles of his family, which were great. But then think of Hezekiah. I love that word. I may have mentioned it here many times over the years, but you know, it's a wonderful word to me. What he said, the living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. How many times has the head of the depths of your heart, your soul is really praising, and the Lord hears the praises of his dear people. He hears their cries, but he hears their praises too, when they can praise his holy name. It's a wonderful place, you know, to be brought to be able to praise his blessed name. That hymn we often sing called the Doxology, you know, because in Canada and America they always close the service with it, at the close after the benediction. And I've often been struck in going out there, you know, how they end with that note of praise. And it's a wonderful thing, really. It's something, as I said earlier, we come so short in giving the Lord the praise. All honour and glory belongs unto him, you see. The benefit is ours. The glory belongs to him. But when there's that note of real praise and thanksgiving, and when can you do it? When your heart is really softened by the abundance of the answer to your prayer, and it melts you down, and your very soul within you goes out in praise. What does the hymn writer say? Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauties trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, and all his well esteem. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. And the Lord knows in each one of us here this morning whether we know anything of these two aspects of this here, Lord, the voice of Judah. And may it stir us each up that we may have more and more fervent prayer, more and more seasons of praise to his holy name. We hear a lot about prayer meetings, and they are vital up and down the land. You know, the force of their united cry, the hymn writer said, no power can long withstand. But what do we hear about praise? It seems very in short supply, we may say. And I'd say that reverently and rightly. But oh, we may know more and more of it in our very souls. But then the next part of this blessing is this: bring him unto his people. The Lord will bring his dear children to his dear people. Let me use an illustration. My mind goes firstly to dear Ruth. You know, she was brought up in Moab, among the gods of Moab, the idols there, the wickedness there was there. But she was one of God's dear chosen children. And the Lord, in his sovereignty and mercy, was to bring her unto his people. And he did it by solemn means. Naomi and her husband went down in a time of famine to Moab because they'd heard there was corn there. And then they had to pass through some very searching things. In the death of her husband, Elimelech, the death of her son-in-laws, Mahlon and Chilion. And the Lord so used this, not only in Naomi's case, bringing her right down. You see, the Lord has his ordained will and he has his permissive will. The ordained will of God was that dear Naomi and her husband were placed in Bethlehem, Judah. That was God's ordained will. They should be there. But his permissive will permitted them to go out and to go to Moab. And the Lord dealt very solemnly with her and with her husband concerning it. She said, didn't she? You can read it in the book of Ruth. I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me home again empty. The hymn writer said, he empties whom he fills. But the point is this regarding our text. The Lord was to use it all to bring Ruth to his people. Naomi was a beautiful type of the church of God. And Ruth was to be brought among them. And the Lord was to do it. And you think of the beautiful language which we find in the heart of dear Ruth when Naomi put her to the test. And how she had to respond to that. Go back to thy gods and to thy people. And what does she do? Well, Orpah went back to her gods. Her heart was still in Moab. But Ruth was among the people of God. The Lord had put it there. And we read this. And they lifted up their voice and wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. And then we find this beautiful word. But Ruth clave unto her. What are you cleaving to? What am I today? Many are cleaving to the world and its pleasures and the things of time. The child of God will cleave to the Lord, cleave to his people, cleave to his house, cleave to his word. And this is what Ruth clave to. And then Naomi gives her no rest. She wanted to prove that dear Ruth had this real religion. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and turned to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And then listen to the language of dear Ruth. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Look how the Lord brought her among his people, as our text said, bring him unto his people. Can you say, and do you desire to say, oh, come low? Is it their longing to be able to say with the hymn writer, there my best friend, speaking about Zion, there my best friends, my kindred dwell. You see, Ruth desired to dwell with them, to lodge with them. And she even wanted to be buried with them, didn't she? She said, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And then we read this, and I just name it. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. It's a beautiful word, that steadfastly go with her. Nothing would move her. Her heart was bound up in going with the Lord's dear children, bring him unto his people. What do we read in Isaiah? A very beautiful word. I often thought about it, you know, and I've preached from it from time to time. The Lord said, I will bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And you know that we need to pray that the Lord would do that. He will bring them from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. That's what he said in his word. And we long to see it in this dark and solemn day in which we live, even the fulfilling of this, and bring him unto his people. I've seen in the last few years, you know, we often pray the Lord to bring prodigals to return, and I've seen it four in our own congregation. I say it to the honour and glory of God. Four of recent years, the Lord has brought back. They went, they were going to have their own way, but the Lord was to bring them to his people. And you know, it's been quite humbling to me to see them brought back and to see them and to take them too through the sacred waters of baptism. The Lord's work, you say, bring him unto his people. I remember sitting in Staples Chapel when I was in my early days. And I used to look at some of the old saints there. And I used to feel, well, they've got something I haven't got. There's something that draws them to God's house. There's something that draws them to the Word of God. There's something that draws them to the Lord. And you know, it stirred up in me a desire that I might obtain it, what they had got. And you know, that was what it was with dear Ruth. There was that in her, wanted to be among the people of God, among the blessings they received, she might receive the same. She wanted to be with them for time, and she wanted to be with them for eternity, didn't she? I remember sitting in the chapel at Staplehurst, as I've said, and that put in my heart. I believe the Lord put it there. With them numbered, my eye burning, now and through eternity. Bring him unto his people. Oh, may we, you dear young ones, may you know the Lord bringing you. And if he brings you, then you'll be steadfast like Ruth and unmovable. Nothing could deter her from going with Naomi. She was steadfastly minded. It's a beautiful word, that is, isn't it? Steadfastly minded. I think back of some of the old ones when I was young, you know, in the house of God. They were so steadfast. Nothing would move them. Why were they steadfast? It was because they were on the rock. That's why. If you want to stand on something that's steadfast, you want a good foundation, poor soul. If you look at Ruth, she got a good foundation to her religion. It was on Christ, the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. And the soul that's upon Christ, the solid rock, will be a steadfast character. They won't be driven about by every wind of doctrine. They'll be steadfast, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. This word drops in, but none of these things, when trouble comes, when affliction comes, and when trials come, or when Satan comes in like a flood, but none of these things move me. That's what the Apostle Paul could say when they told him all what he got to go through if he went up to Jerusalem. Afflictions and trials and enemies of every sort and type, and they would come against him. But what does he say? None of these things move me. He was steadfast, wasn't he? But I'll leave that for your prayerful meditation. May the Lord help us ever to be steadfast in the vital things of God. Bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him. He needed strong hands. Whenever I read this, I think of my late great uncle that was pastor at Black Boys, the late Jabez Field. And when he was a lad, he used to work on a farm. And in those days, they ploughed the fields with a horse and plough. And he was, one of his jobs to do was to lead the horse across the field. The ploughman held the plough. Well, like a young person often is, they think, well, I'd like a change. I don't want to keep leading this horse across the field, up and down all day long. And so he said to the ploughman, can I have a go on the plough and you lead the horse? The ploughman said to him, well, you can try, but he said, I'll tell you something, you're going to need strong hands, sufficient to hold the plough in the ground. But he said, I'll let you try if you like. He went on the plough, and the old ploughman led the horse. He said he hadn't gone far. The plough was in the ground, out the ground. Why? because his hands weren't sufficient.
And you know, I've often thought about that when it says he let his hands be sufficient for him. You say you need strong hands. Now, I don't want to just look at that naturally, but spiritually, because do we not need the strong hands of faith? You know, when the Lord is pleased to speak, it may be a sacred promise into your poor heart. What will the hands of faith do? If I know anything of it in any measure, it will lay hold of it and it will not let it go. The devil may try, do all he can with all his power to try and take it away from you. But the hands of faith will lay hold of it and keep hold of it. And the devil will never destroy it, if that's of God. And the Lord will give every one of his dear people hands sufficient. Won't waver. Not loose and let this go. We see it solemnly in many places today. Well, they let the world in. They let a light ministry in and so on. They've got to do something for the young. I'm not saying that's wrong to do anything for the young, because we would do everything to encourage them. Don't misunderstand me. But you see, outward things, just to entertain, will never satisfy the soul. It must come from heaven. And let his hands be sufficient for him. Well, may the Lord grant to us stronger hands of faith, stronger hands of love. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when love embraces. And when I was to go in the hospital back in March, I was amazed at the love that has been shown me throughout Zion and throughout the world, really, of all the nations, several of the nations that have contacted. Of those, you see, hands that are of real love want to do all they can to help. And may we take heed to these points in this text. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Bring him unto his people. Now the Lord alone has power to do that. Bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him. And don't forget that sufficiency comes from the Lord. Oh, yes. What do we read? But our sufficiency is of God. The apostle knew it well, didn't he? But then finally, and I'll be brief, and he says this, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. He wasn't promising the tribe of Judah an easy pathway, was he? They were going to be enemies. And if there are enemies against you, poor soul, the way's not going to be easy, is it? Oh, no. And I'll just name a few of the enemies. Firstly, the great enemy, Satan. If you've got a real religion, poor soul, and the Lord is with you and helping you on the journey, the devil will do all he can to oppose you. He's ever active. And he's crafty. He comes as an angel of light sometimes, to quote even the holy word of God. or he comes as a roaring lion out to destroy. And then the enemies may be men. They may be religious characters. I think of William Cowper, the first pastor at the Dicker. He was not the William Cowper that wrote the hymn 320, but he had the same name. But, you know, he had a vast congregation of over 800 on the Lord's Day. We've got a letter in the safe at the Dicker that what he wrote in 1840. And he said, "I feel such a poor thing in standing up before 800 on the Lord's Day." But he had ever so many enemies. There were those that tried to stop the people coming. And there were those in the Church of England, vicars, that accused him of stealing their congregations. He had ever so many enemies because the Lord was so using his ministry. But the Lord wonderfully helped him through it all. Then you may have enemies within you, poor soul. If you've got a heart that truly fears the Lord, there'll be those enemies within. There's our unbelief, our self-righteousness, our pride. Oh, the mighty enemies, the hymn writer said, mighty enemies without, but much mightier within. And when all these enemies come against you, whatever they be this morning, child of God, you go to him that can help you. There's no helper like the Lord. Hear, he says, and be thou and help to him from his enemies. I may not have named the enemy you have, but the Lord knows. And he alone can help you. You think of dear David when he went to fight Goliath. Just a stripling, a young man. Goliath had all the armour and all the backing of the Philistines. The spear, the shield. Everything in that armour. But you know, David went up with one helper. He didn't need the spear. He didn't need the shield. He didn't need the Philistine army. One pebble from the brook. The Lord enabled him. And does it not say in the word of God, David said that the Goliath had come up with all these things, and I have come up in the strength of the Lord God of Israel. And you see, if the Lord's your helper, poor soul, he'll undertake to do everything. Oh, he will. The Lord is so different than earthly helpers. We can help to a degree. It's right we should help each other, as the hymn writer said, in the road. But we're limited, aren't we? Maybe because we're weak or we're afflicted. It may be we haven't the means to help. But the Lord, you see, is not bound by means nor weakness. He is almighty. And when he undertakes to help his dear people, he'll do everything for them. You look how he did for David. One pebble from the brook, and Goliath was there, dead upon the floor, or on the ground, and the Philistine army fled. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, I've scratched around the surface, beloved friends. May these blessings couched in this text be ours. And may we be being able to give the Lord all the glory. The benefit is ours. The glory belongs to him. Amen.
God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Timothy Pocock will preach to us on Tuesday evening and Mr. Brian Izzard next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn number 1139. 1139. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Hymn 1139.
dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own precious word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep, but may there be that which abides in us. Forgive everything, anything that's been amiss, Lord. And oh, do be with us through the interval. Come up with us again this evening, if it would please us. And may the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.